much, I'd do it for free. Well, on this show, we have a very clear philosophy that if you love doing something so much, you must only earn a living doing it. But there's a consequence to doing what you love and earn a living doing it. You tend to like it a little less. So you have a simple question or simple dilemma in front of you. You either love a hobby and you're poor, or you like your hobby a little less and you're rich. So in general, that's what I've discovered works. And so today you're in for a very real treat. We've never before had a show like this. And often during a show, what I'll do is I'll answer two of the top major questions that I receive from individuals so that I can cover some important parts. Now, throughout future shows, what we're going to be starting to do is implementing some new concepts. One of them I call truth and nothing but the truth. It's going to be a period of time where I'm going to be revealing truths. I'll never lie. Like, there's a period where I'll never lie. And like, sometimes on the air, like, I'm a little politically correct, but this is where you get everything straight, like the straight dope kind of thing. Another thing I want to introduce is the lightning round, which is a period where I'll take in your phone calls and we'll get to address very, very important issues regarding the Dream Job Search Show. That's very, very exciting, and that's all coming up. For today's show, the reason I'm so excited is because we've never, ever before heard from this group of individuals. It's the baby boomer. Did you know that there are many parents out there that have kids that are either looking for work or out of work? And there's this great joke I recently heard is, do you know why baby boomers downsize after their kids leave? It's not to cut down on costs. It's simply to get a smaller place. So if the kid wants to move back, they can't move back in. There's no space for them. So that's what it's all about. And we have a caller from Montreal. The listenership is across Canada and into North America, throughout North America. As you can hear us online, that's the very, very exciting part about this show. And so today we have a guest on the show who is a parent, a baby boomer of a child who just went through a very grueling dream job search. And the most amazing news is that it ended in a very, very positive and favorable result. And we're going to find out exactly all of the details as we go along. And so what I'm going to be doing here is just getting her on the air. Let's see what we have here. Elizabeth, is that you? Elizabeth? Okay, let's just see here. Elizabeth, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, now we can hear you. We have the volume there. So, Elizabeth, where are you calling from?
Montreal.
Montreal. So are you a fan of our show?
Well, I've heard you often. It just happened one day I started to hear you, and so I listen in periodically.
So tell me, what do you get mostly out of the show? Because it's sometimes nice to hear what the listenership receives so that we can continue to do it on the show.
Well, I guess your great ideas on how to get your dream job, I think it's really important. And I think the young kids today have got to find their dream job, not just do a job that maybe we did years ago because we had mouths to feed and mortgages to pay. Today, people are doing really what they want to do.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that, okay, before we jump into this child that you have, this case that you have, do you find there a difference between when you were looking for work and when your kids are looking for work?
Absolutely. I think that in our day, going back a few years ago, we didn't have the choices. Today, I think people have many more choices. They change their career path a few times. So it's a lot different than when we were young.
So, is having choice good or bad?
Well, I suppose it's good because you're going to be doing what you really, really want to do. Years back, I mean, you were a secretary, you were a nurse. The doors there weren't many open. But today, I mean, you can do whatever you want to do. And people are doing what they really love to do. And that is to find it, though. And that could be difficult, which I have a son who took about 8 months to get exactly what he wants.
Well, now, was your son listening to this show?
Was he listening to the show?
Yes.
Yeah, periodically he did. I would remind him because he was either trying to find a job, he was working hard, so if he wasn't around to hear it, because in Montreal it's 6 o'clock.
Right, so this is a different time frame, exactly. Okay, great. So let's jump in. So you have a son that recently was looking for their dream job, is that right?
That's right.
And what does he study?
He's an electrical engineer.
Okay, so when did he graduate?
He graduated last year.
Okay. And he's been looking for work for about 8 months.
Yes.
Okay. Now, did he find work quickly right out of school, or what happened? What's a bit of his story at the beginning when he first left school?
Well, at the very beginning, he got a job, which we were all very excited about. But the problem is, being an engineer, they always want you to have some type of training, a past of maybe between 3 to 5 years. So it's very difficult for that entry-level engineer to start. So he did start, but unfortunately they thought and they wanted somebody that had at least a couple of years of training under their belt. So, of course, he was let go, very disillusioned, very disheartened. So he decided to maybe try elsewhere. So he went to California for about 3 months, probably not the best timing because it was in the summer. But as it turned out, he gave himself a deadline, and he said if it didn't happen, I think it was September, he was going to come back, which I was kind of happy. I didn't really want to see him to go over to California. But anyway, if it happened, it would have been great. But as it turned out, he came back, and then he started, like, very seriously job searching.
Can I stop you there? It's funny because you want him out of the house, but not out of the province. Is that right?
Well, it would be nice.
Okay. So let's just identify this. So when he found that, how long did it take him to find that first job you talked about?
Actually, it went pretty quick. It was great on his part. I would say he was just out of school. He graduated in May, and I think by June, he had his first interview, went to the second. So it was pretty quick, pretty exciting.
Okay, so while we're talking about 8 months now, actually something happened very quick for him. So what did he learn? There was one thing that you typically learn from an experience in dealing with an employer. What did your son learn? What's his name, by the way?
Yannick.
What did Yannick learn from that experience with that first employer? Something must have happened.
Well, I think he felt pretty bad, pretty down and out, and he lost his, I guess, his self-esteem. He just felt not very good about himself.
Did he sign a contract?
No, he didn't.
What happened with that?
Well, you know, I guess excitement. He started. He didn't realize how possibly important it was to get a signed contract. And began the job, and then a week, he lasted 2 weeks, and then because the contract wasn't signed, and there was a lot of back and forth, human resource, he called them, they said, we'll call you back. So he felt that there was some sort of delay happening.
So Elizabeth, I want to address this to the TV audience right now. Folks out there, whenever you start work, an employer will often have you start before you even sign a contract. Often they do this because they forget, often they do this because not they've forgotten, but because they want to test you out for a short period of time and have no commitment. This is exactly what happened with Yannick. Within 2 weeks, he had not signed anything, and because of that, he had no legal ramifications, they had no commitment towards him, and he was let go within 2 weeks. Now, everyone knows that there's about a 3 to 6 month probationary period in which an employer can let you go without cause. However, when you do sign a document, it has a certain level of commitment on the part of the employer. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So what Yannick learned here is that you must, and this is what I must tell everyone who's listening right now, you never pick up a pencil before you sign a contract. Often the contracts don't have time frames on them because the employer is not going to say we're going to hire you for 5 years. But as long as you sign a document that says we're committed to paying you this much per year and with a job description, that is so fundamental. Well, Yannick learned it, so I guess that's where he's gone from there.
Exactly. I think it was unfortunate. He did learn it the hard way. But as some great news, he just landed his dream job and made sure that he signed the contract before he even stepped foot into the office.
So he just landed his dream job.
Yes.
Okay, so before we get there, I'm really excited about that. I want to hear from that. We're going to be going to break in a couple minutes, but before we go to break, so you said he went to California.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting. I work with a lot of individuals, and whenever they can't find anything local, what's the first thing they tell me?
Go out of town.
They get out of town. Right? So there's this expression that says, you know, bloom where you're planted. And it's a beautiful concept that if your tree is planted in Montreal or it's planted in Vancouver, then that's where you grow your roots and that's where you grow your fruit. And I've seen that to be the most productive and most effective way to land your dream job. There's another concept that covered around that subject, and it's this wonderful book called Fields of Diamonds. It's a classic book written in the 70s or 80s, and it was about this guy who got up, wanted to be very wealthy, and he traveled the world looking for diamonds. And he was 75 years old. He's on his property, and he retired poor, and he was in the backyard with his family, and his son was digging, right? And his son hit some black tarry looking stuff, and he dug a little further, the son, and this huge gush of black stuff came up flying towards the air. Well, what was it?
Fantastic.
It was oil. Within a couple months, he had a rig on it, and they were making millions of dollars.
And he didn't have to leave his home.
75 years of traveling the globe, and he found his fields of diamond right in his backyard. Okay, why don't we, California will be back in just a second after the break. So, Elizabeth, you'll stay on the air, and we'll be back after the break.
Okay.
So you want to gain the freshman 15? Well, you probably will. So why not gain it ethically? Sprouts. The student-run, not-for-profit grocery store is now open in the lower level of the UBC Student Union Building across from Travel Cuts in the Wellness Center. Sprouts is committed to providing the UBC community with healthy, locally produced, organic, and fair trade products at great prices. Sprouts will be open from 9:30 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. So you want to tag a ride on the sustainable gravy train? Sprouts is now looking for volunteers to help out with tabling, outreach, and at the storefront. So just drop by and pick up your application.
I got a job. I got a job.
You are listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you're glued to your computer at www.citr.ca, mesmerized, totally blown aback by the topic we're covering today. And we have a wonderful guest, Elizabeth from Montreal, and she's talking about what it's like living with a son who's looking for a dream job, how it's been different for when she was looking for work, and how it's been different for him. And we just talked about how he couldn't find work. Well, actually, he was let go very temporarily after a two-week period in Montreal, and he ended up leaving, which is very common. Whenever you can't find your first job, you often move to another place. But before we do that, I just want to address the audience right now. If you are not a parent and you're currently listening, I want you to just be aware that this topic directly relates to you, because we're hearing the same subject but from a different perspective. And often that's where learning happens. So while you might be out of work and you're not a parent and this is your dream job search, well, what I've discovered is that a different perspective, in this case, the parent of a dream job seeker, can actually make all the difference in your career. So stay tuned, because we're going to keep our discussion. So Elizabeth, you're still there, yes?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Good. We've kept you. That's a good sign. And so before the break, we touched on the issue that your son, after having to leave that job, went to California.
Yes, that's right.
So he just
3 months.
Picked up and left.
Exactly.
Okay. And so what was his strategy? Did he apply any of the strategies he listened on to this show? How did it go for him?
Well, you know, he always thought, I guess, the grass is greener. It always seems to be that way. And when he went out, yes, he followed a lot of your examples, like trying to get an interview without just handing your CV over to the human resource department. He wanted to make it a little bit more personal. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, a little tough because it was in the summer. So the summer there, the summer here, everybody's on holidays. But he you know, tried many different angles, and then finally, you know, the time was up. So he decided to come back.
So he spent 3 months in another country, a whole new country, had never been there before, and he tried, but he was not. Did he book any interviews?
Yes, he actually had two job offers, but he didn't feel that it was to his standard.
Okay.
He's worked pretty hard. He's got also a three-year deck. In industrial technology, plus a four-year engineering, he felt that he could do better.
Okay, folks, I just want you to pay attention here. Elizabeth's son, Yannick, has been listening to this show, and within 2 weeks of graduation landed work that he really enjoyed. Was that right, Elizabeth? He enjoyed
That's
that?
Correct.
Okay. And then he went to California, and he landed two other jobs, but they weren't exactly to his liking. And so that's three job offers, one accepted. Very powerful. So what I want to say here is that the techniques that we're transmitting over this air are extremely powerful when applied in your life. And it's very interesting that this caller here, we have an opportunity to speak with her and find out the inside story, the inside scoop. So listener, this is not just me saying what works. It's what someone else saying has worked for them. And we're getting closer to the gravy as we move on. So Yannick came back from California.
That's right.
And he returned to where?
Montreal.
Okay, so he came home. Were you happy about that? And he's living in your house.
Living in our house. Now, when he went to California, we had a good feeling that he was going to be staying there. So, you know, I took his clothes out of the closet and I gained another closet. But when things didn't work out, I decided I wasn't going to change the house again, because I knew it was a matter of time that he would possibly find something. So he came back semi-comfortable. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so wait a minute. Let me tell you, how did it make you feel when he first left? I understand you felt, okay, when he left, you were sad, but in terms of getting a new closet, how was that for you? Did you like this?
Taking out the tape measure and seeing the space I have. Well, for sure, I think what's really important, I think, for a lot of parents is that the kids are happy and they're doing something they really do love. He's worked so hard for it, and that's really what you want. Mm-hmm. For him staying here, well, definitely we would have survived it. But I think the important part is that he got his space, and that's what he needs. And right now he's in the process of finding an apartment.
So
he needs space.
So for you, him returning to home wasn't necessarily that it was cramping your style, and mind you, it probably was, but it was more so that you knew if you came back home, he wouldn't be happy. He needed his own space.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
And he wouldn't be feeling the same way, even towards us, because he thought, well, I thought I was going to be getting my independence, and I could do things on my own. So it's a tough period, I think, for parents to go through when their kids aren't really that happy and they're not doing what they really had planned to do.
Okay, so you kids out there who are in a situation where you're living at home and you're looking for opportunities and you're getting a bit of that pressure from the parents to get the hell out, it's not that they necessarily want you out. Mind you, they might want you out a bit. But what they really want is for you to be happy and independent and doing what you love. Is that right?
That's right. And start to get on with their lives, get the cars, and buy the nice things that they do like. And they have a nice apartment, or they're able to buy a condo if they can't afford a house at the beginning. But I think that's what's really important. And I think all parents want to see their children move on.
Okay.
And then, of course, for me to become a grandmother.
Yeah, that's the next step. That's another show. So, okay, now there's a section in this, it's a new section I have on the show called Truth and Nothing But the Truth. Okay, so that's whenever I ask a guest on the show, we have to have the truth and nothing but the truth. You got that?
Okay.
Okay, great. So my question is, how did, from your point of view, how did it make you feel that he was back? How did it cramp your style?
Well, space-wise, I suppose.
Hey, don't flower this. It's the real stuff. Give us the dough. How was it for you, him coming back?
Probably it's a little bit difficult, I suppose, because I knew that we would be working with a frustrated child here, you know, him wanting to go out and, of course, we wanting him to do the same thing, but I think that's difficult. And also, I guess, cooking more food and buying more food.
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, well, I try. That's not bad truth. I'm pretty impressed with the truth. Okay, good. So now he's back. And how long did he live in your house, the closet you didn't get, for before he... how long did he live there for before this new thing just happened? But let's not talk about the new thing that just happened.
You mean about 8 months.
So how long was he back after California?
8 months.
Wow, so he came back for 8 months, eh?
8 months.
So for 8 months, you were giving him the pressure and the shoulder. So anything you did didn't work? Like, what? Didn't you try and kick him out? What did you do?
No, I actually encouraged him to continue on. He needed another course, AutoCAD, which is very important for engineers. Unfortunately, they don't give it when they're taking their university degree. So I said, why don't you do something? At least you're going to be kept busy, and you're going to add that on to your curriculum.
Okay,
and that's what he did.
And so it sounded like he got stuck as well.
Well, for sure he did. Every day he was from 9 to 3, I believe. He was very dedicated. He went into a room by himself. Sometimes he'd go to the library and just do a job search.
So what
nonstop.
In your opinion or your observation of him, what helped him get unstuck the most?
Well, I kept relating things, you know, after listening to your programs every week faithfully, you know, maybe try different angles, go for it. You also say a lot about trying to get to the important man at the company. Try to get your foot in and try to meet personally. That he tried very much. And this is how it actually, he landed the job, was meeting the top man.
No kidding. Well, you know what? I can't wait to hear this. Let's do this. Let's first have a break. And then, Elizabeth, when we come back, we're going to find out how your son, I don't know what's more importantly, landed a dream job and left your house. We'll be back after the break.
Okay, Philip.
Okay.
CITR podcast update number 1.
Work has begun on Canada's information highway. That's the state-of-the-art network that we're told will change everything from the way we do business to the way we learn. Without getting too technical, tell me how what you're working on is different from what's available to me right now.
So right now, if you want to listen to your favorite CITR program, you need to be listening to it on your radio live or streaming over the internet live. But with CITR podcasts, you'll be able to download your favorite show and listen to it whenever you want on your computer or on your MP3 player.
I'm just thinking about that.
I know, it's pretty rad.
For more information, visit CITR.ca/podcast. Thank you for listening, and please be kind to robots.
I gotta go.
I gotta go.
are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And you are, of course, glued to your radio with your family, with your pets, with your aunts and your uncles, your neighbors you have never met. Listening to Career Fast Track, a show specifically designed to help you land your dream job and nothing short. And we have a wonderful guest on our show today calling from Montreal. That's right, we have listeners across Canada and in North America because you can hear us at on our website at www.citr.ca where you click live stream. You can just hear us live. And beautifully, as you just heard on that announcement, you can listen to us podcast, which means if you missed the show, you can go back and hear an old show because all your friends, of course, told you that it was a wonderful, can't-miss show. So, Elizabeth, we're back on the air here, and we just left before the break saying that your son recently has come across a very wonderful news around his dream job search. Is that correct?
Well, yes, Philip, and I've got to mention to you also, I mean, I've gone back into the workforce a few times, they always say it doesn't rain, but it pours. And believe it or not, last week he had two interviews, and this week he actually started his job today, but he got another call back to go back for a second interview. So it does work. It does work. More you try, eventually somebody's going to hear you.
So in 8 months, he's got like literally nothing.
Nothing, and it's all kind of just happened, kind of all at once, and usually they say that that's what happens.
And did he get, and so how many did he receive, so he got several interviews,
yes,
and several job offers as well?
Yes, well, last week he did two interviews. Now they've called him back to do another interview. So he wanted to make a decision, and the one that he chose, he feels it's the best for him. It's going to keep him very interested in his job.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all hoping everything is going to work out well.
So I'm so excited. How did it happen? How did he land his dream job? Like, what did he do?
Well, you know, sometimes he was trying to avoid human resource somewhat and trying to get to the person in charge of the engineering division. Then that's basically where he had to go. So he kept calling and he kept calling, and eventually, for sure, he did send out his CVs. I would kind of ask him on a daily basis what he was up to. And one particular company he was able to get through. Of course, you know, there's certain ways to get through, and I think you definitely helped them on a lot of your techniques.
Mm.
How to talk to them, how to be polite.
With the decision maker.
And how to get them to listen to you.
The decision maker now.
The decision maker.
Okay.
And that's where he went. And finally he got through, the decision maker called, and things went rolling from there. And as you were also saying too, he did negotiate.
I negotiated.
He negotiated, which was very wonderful on his part. We were very pleased. He went in, negotiated.
Okay, I'll stop you there. I want to stop you there for a sec.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many individuals come to me and then say, "Why? I can't negotiate either. They're not going to like me. They're going to argue with me. Oh, I just came out of school. It's my first job. I'll take whatever I can get." This is what I hear often. And this was his first work after school, and he decided to negotiate.
First big job, absolutely.
Wow. And so what happened?
Well, he negotiated. And they couldn't go exactly all the way, but they said, "We'll meet you halfway."
Wait.
And it ended up a wonderful meeting.
And he made more money. Did he make more money because he decided to negotiate?
Absolutely.
Than he would have otherwise?
Absolutely.
You know, there's a wonderful expression that says, "Your first raise is your biggest raise." Because every raise you have after builds on your first raise.
Yes, it makes sense. It makes sense. And also, I guess he felt that, I mean, he has got such a wonderful training, and he wanted to start to put all this training to use.
So your son is at his first day at his dream job today.
Absolutely.
Isn't it funny how you're on the air, you just thank you so much for calling and sharing this information with us. This is amazing.
I think his father, we're absolutely delighted. He's a wonderful kid. We're just waiting for his first paycheck so he can treat us for dinner.
It's payback time.
I think it's time.
Payback. So where is he going to take you?
Well, I'll choose something really nice in Montreal, and we'll go the 9 yards. We'll even take wine and go for dessert.
So how many kids do you have?
I have two.
Okay, are they both out of the house now?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, no, Yannick now, though, he still feels that he's got to get his feet a bit wet.
Right.
So we said, okay, fine. And he's going to hang in for a couple of months, and then we're going to look for an apartment for him.
And that means you are, it's just you and your husband, that's it.
That's it right now.
So how does that make you now? So, okay, so the part of this show is focusing not only on the dream job seeker, the son, but also on the parent, the baby boomer who is, I think that's called empty nest, right, where the kids leave. So where are you with that?
But, you know, it's ready. I mean, I don't have the empty nest syndrome because maybe 10 years ago I would have, but right now he's ready to go.
And
he's ready to experience his own life and have his own privacy and just enjoy bringing friends over, which I know he would more so being on his own. And also, I mean, it's a big growing up. He's now will have bills to pay, but also have a lot of fun in the meantime.
So tell me this now. Okay, I want to know a bit about your plans, you and your husband's plans, now that he's gone. Like,
I'm going to redo our rec room. That's where he was sleeping.
Okay.
So the tape measure is already out and the paint is chosen.
And so he's gone. And, I mean, he still has dirty underwear in the house and you're already whipping out the measuring tape.
Right.
That's how it works?
But I have a feeling he'll keep bringing it back to wash it here, though.
Okay. So now that the kids are gone, how do you foster, continue that relationship with the kids that they're gone? Do you invite them back? How does that work?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's really nice to keep a close contact, and even if it's every Sunday for dinner. And I know he'll take home some doggy bags.
Yes.
So that he can eat a few days free again. I mean, it doesn't stop, you know?
No, I see that. And
just because they're out.
And Elizabeth, we have about a minute left. And I just, your last thought, just maybe, you know, a 30-second to a minute answer. So are you in the workforce now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so even though your kids are out of the house, your life hasn't ended yet.
No, we're still interested in working. We have still a few more plans we would like to do. So it keeps everybody going and everybody young.
It's interesting. A recent study came out that said that less than 10% of people that are 65 and over work. Okay, 7.
Well, Philip, I'm not over 65.
No. Yeah. We got
Rephrase that.
But here, this is what's interesting, is that those that were asked, those who are earlier than 65, so yourself, for example.
Yes.
I just saved that one. We're asked, how many of you, when you hit 65, will be working? An amazing 77% said they would be working.
I think now also, too, they're changing the age of retirement. You don't have to go at 65.
Right.
And when I think of my mother, she was 65 and still working. And, you know, in those days, they were a little bit forcing her to leave, whereas today, you can stay on just because you enjoy it.
Well, you know what? You've inspired me possibly for another show on the subject of now having the parent of the child who leaves, their life's not over, and their life often is just getting started, like the second stage.
Yes.
And so I think that's a worthwhile conversation. So, Elizabeth, I'd like to thank you very, very much for coming on the air and being with us today.
Well, if ever you ever are able to speak in Montreal anywhere, it would be wonderful for you to meet Yannick, and he could show you around Montreal.
Well, that'd be great. I'd love to have that. Please, Elizabeth, stay on the air. We'll be with you in just a sec.
Okay.
I am Philip DeRocher, and you've been listening to Career Fast Track on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This has been a special show, meeting with Elizabeth DeRocher, and we've had an opportunity to speak with her about landing a dream job for her son. I will see you next week at the same time, where you will learn how to do what you love, make a ton of money, and be unstoppable. Are you there?
On March 12, 2007, the University of British Columbia Cancer Association is delighted to announce that Cuts for Cancer will be held at the UBC campus.
Okay, cool.
This annual event affords students and members of the local community the opportunity to cut their hair at our salons and make wigs for children who have lost their hair due to cancer treatment and collect pledges for this endeavor. In one day last year, Cuts for Cancer 2006 collected $17,600 worth of hair donations and another $15,000 in pledges and donations. To this date, it is the most successful charity fundraising event.
Okay, great. How did you find it?
The University of British Columbia Cancer Association ensures that
that was great. You have a very
contributed to enhance the lives of cancer patients.
30 seconds, hold on.
Prosthetic wigs are produced and offered free by Angel Hair for kids to underprivileged families. So on March 12th, come down to the UBC campus to show your support for Cuts for Cancer. For more information on Cuts for Cancer, can be found at cutsforcancer.net.
Yeah, I know. You could have said that. That's what I feel.
I was fishing for. The guy's not here. What do I do? Okay, Mom, I'll call you when I get to work.